Welcome, 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 and one more welcome to We Could Be Wrong, but who cares? I'm your host, Anderson.
Christopher Harris.
Sean.
Sean Sue.
And Mike.
And let's go.
Let's go. Okay, we're going to start with this scene. Let me open up the screen. Oh, no one could really see it, so it doesn't even matter. It would just be... Wait, hold on. Maybe, yeah. I guess he could see it. Yeah.
It'd be us and it would be the audience.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. So let's move that over. Let's get out of my personal text messaging. Okay.
I feel bad. I feel like I let Mike down today.
Why do you feel like you let Mike down?
He knows why, because he was waiting for my echo and he didn't hear it. He's like, oh, I guess he's not there.
Okay,
today.
Before we start, can we... Can we end this debate once and for all? It's getting hot in the emails. Who invented "and Mike"? Was the person who actually is named Mike and would say "and Mike"?
It was me.
No.
I was saying. Remember?
He was saying "and Mike" before you said
before
"and
you
Mike."
Before you even got on the program.
No. But there was a program where we went out of sync, and you're like, "Oh, I don't really care." And I'm like, "No, I like when we end with "and Mike," like it's the thing." And it became the thing when we did that, because you were okay with going out of that order. Do we not remember this, gentlemen?
I kind of remember that, but it had been that. It had been "and Mike" ever. The very first show was "and Mike," so.
And you're wrong.
Well,
and
I mean,
you guys are wrong.
But what you're saying, you did emphasize it for sure. Yes, you did. Absolutely. But
we shouldn't go out of that order. Is what my point was.
I guess what she's trying to say is that she's the trendsetter. It wasn't a trend until she acknowledged it.
So if there's t-shirts to be made, whose face would it be? Would it be Sun Tzu's? Because she says "and Mike," or this picture of Mike on that t-shirt?
It was my face saying "and Echo." I know, it would be Mike. It would be Mike's face. I'm not Mike.
And Mike, yeah.
Okay. So
I'm a giver. You guys, whoever wants credit, just go ahead and take it.
Give everyone's
credit. It's okay.
Right. Okay. We're going to start with this young lady. This is a TikTok video that I found that said something interesting that I really wanted to get into. Can we go here again? Yes, we can. Can I make it larger? Yes, I can. Oh, this is so fun. Give me a second. Full screen. Thank you. We're going to play her now. Let's let her speak.
Before I got on TikTok, I didn't know there was 574 federally recognized.
So she's not wrong. What she's saying is essentially that she's shocked that she had to go to TikTok to learn about Indigenous histories within her own country. And what I'm here to say is that that's actually 100% on purpose. In America, there are four different types of schools, all with their own funding models and specific curriculums. One is the executive, second is middle class, third is working trades, and then the fourth is just school to prison pipeline. The reason why the public school system does this is in order to perpetuate the current caste system, which is needed in order to further facilitate our capitalist economic structure. And you cannot have capitalism without entrenched racism. So why would our public school systems teach anti-colonial history? It goes against all of their propaganda.
Did you guys catch all that?
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So, Mike,
why can't you have capitalism without racism?
Exactly. That she didn't explain why.
Well, I would assume. Okay, we can assume then maybe what she's meaning is that capitalism needs poor people to do the crappy jobs so that people. The rich people can get richer. I'm assuming that's where she's going there, which you don't know. Yeah.
She's out there, you know, putting out this, I mean, it's almost a form of propaganda. You know, I mean, there's major target wording, school to prison pipeline.
Yeah. Right.
You know, And I mean, there's major, like, a caste system. I mean, there's obviously a humongous divide between, you know, the haves and the have nots, right? There's a humongous space and gap there.
I think we all went to different schools. Did you guys learn about the Indian tribes? I know I did. It was part of my American history teaching. I learned about it.
I don't remember. Honestly,
I don't remember.
Yeah, but you remember, you're from the East Coast. There's a lot of Native American names up there at the East Coast. We're over here, like Kentucky.
I was gonna say that, Chris. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In Virginia history, you learned about Native Americans because it was a big part of the settlement, 1619, Jamestown, on and on. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point you're making there. Reference of the West Coast. Yeah, the West Coast versus East Coast.
Yeah, so. Sure. And, you know, I wanted to play her just because, I mean, obviously there are some things that really need to be slowed down with what she said. And I really wanted to talk about that. I know this is a conversation that Sun Tzu and Mike kind of got into almost 3 weeks ago, where they start talking about private school versus public school. And there was some issues with that. So I wanted to sort of get into that. Do you remember what you were saying, Sun Tzu?
Well, I just had a chance to mention that, I kind of went into the whole Democrat not, you know, wanting school choice, and then we kind of stopped it there because we didn't want to go down that.
And we still don't, path, but we can still get into school choice.
Yeah.
Right. So my thing is I'm very much pro school choice, and I feel like it's hurt the minority children and families to not have school choice because they're stuck within whatever boundaries that they're in. In a lot of areas, they don't have like inter-district transfers that are allowed. So you have to go with whatever school pertains to your boundaries, which then if you are, you know, in an impoverished area or an area that's kind of lower income, you're stuck there, right? So if you have kids that are, you know, that are smart and need to be challenged a little bit more, you're just at a disadvantage. And I don't see why anyone would be against school choice, especially when most of our politicians send their kids to private schools and charter schools. So I think it's a little hypocritical for them to say no to that.
Ooh, interesting. Because one of the other arguments would be that it's elitist, in that these people, these well-to-do people, want the government. They want to get a tax rebate. In other words, they want the government to pay for some of that rather than having to pay for it all on their own. That's part of the provisions of school choice, correct? The voucher. A voucher would give each family X amount of dollars that they could put toward any school that they wanted to put toward, including a private school. And the Supreme Court allowed this. The Supreme Court's already accepted this concept. So instead of paying your $10,000 for a private school, the government would kick in $5,000 of your voucher, and you'd have to pay the remaining amount. That's the way I understand it.
I've never heard of this voucher. Is that only for people of a certain socioeconomic status? Because my kids go to private school for the first time, and I don't get any kind of voucher.
No, but that's the point. That's the point. That's what school choice is. In other words, with school choice, you would get a voucher. You would be able to get money from the government to send your kids to a private school or any school you wanted to. That's the concept of school choice. That's what.
That's the first time I'm hearing that. I didn't know that. I've never heard that. Has anyone else heard of that?
No, is that a good thing or a bad thing? What do you? I'm talking to Mike, of course.
Well, it depends. I mean, there are definitely pros and cons. One of the pros, obviously, is it's, you know, you're going to basically, what the idea is, to create a free market concept for schools. In other words, any parent should be able to send his student, their children, to any school that they want to. And that what this would do is it would, by virtue of, you know, marketing and so on and so forth, the best schools would draw the best students, and it would force poor performing schools to close and not make it. So it'd be like, you know, if a healthy business in a free market economy is going to do well, if you have a crappy business model, you're not going to succeed. It's the same concept with education. Okay. That's what choice is.
But Mike, there's always limits, right? So it's kind of like, even though people want to apply or whatever to a private or charter school, they can only take so many, you know, children because of that ratio. So even if that were the choice that we had, there really would be that, you know, that competitiveness, because even like with charter schools, you're put in the lottery. And so you're not guaranteed. My kids have gone to charter schools before, so they put you in the lottery, and sometimes it takes a year, sometimes it takes 2 years for your kids to even get into a charter school. So there's a lot of different things that go into it, and charter schools don't charge you. It's not like it's not like a private school, right? Parents have more control of like what type of material they're teaching in the classroom, rather than, you know, the teachers union having full control.
Okay, well, you're talking about, Sun Tzu, you're talking about just basically charter schools. And basically a charter school, in case people don't know, is about 10 or 12 years ago, districts were given the ability to open up different schools to attract different students. So for example, let's say there was a high school in my where I live that wanted to do dramatic arts. They would still have to learn the basic skills, but it would focus on dramatic arts, and that might appeal to some parents and some kids. And so that might be the charter school. It might be a charter school that dealt with engineering. It could be a charter school that dealt with, you know, whatever the community, like you said, Sun Tzu, the parents get together and make a decision on some of the values and the things in which they want to have in their charter school. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's still allowed. That's very common, especially throughout California. But choice basically says, you know, to anyone, if you choose, if you're they're allowing you, basically, like I said, it is a voucher. It's a financial voucher of so much money that each family is entitled to per child, and they can put that money anywhere they want to and have that kid go to that school. It doesn't cover the entire cost, but it covers some of the cost. So that's what we got to be careful. We're talking about the same apples and apples. Let's just be careful. You know, I don't think we're not in any disagreement yet. Let's just try to define, you know, the parameters of what choice is versus another charter school. Pardon me.
The vouchers aren't in play yet, are they, Mike?
Not in California, they're not. Okay. But they are. But there are like 12 states that are doing this, that are allowing vouchers, and they are allowing their kids, basically, or the parents, to say, hey, I want to send my kid to a private Christian school, and the government's going to give me $10,000. I'm just going to use an easy number, okay? $10,000 to do that per child. Mm-hmm. And that could go toward any school you wanted to go toward. If you wanted to continue to have your student go to the local school, then he would continue to go to the local school.
Well, I know it's difficult. I actually totally agree with Sun Tzu on this one. I know it's hard, but my kids, when they were growing up in high school, the high school for our area that we lived in San Jose is not a good high school. So we actually had to use my grandparents or my parents' address to get them into a different school that was a better school for them. And we know that's not right, but you know, just because the school that was in our district was not known for its education.
Well, and that's what for the voucher that's making sense is, because if we understand, which you would probably know more than anyone, Mike, is the way that schools, public schools are structured, is they receive funding from the government depending on the enrollment, right? So the more kids that are enrolled in their school, the more funding. So it kind of makes sense that they're saying, you know, per each child, they're gaining however much, you know, X amount of dollars through the government. It does kind of make sense for there to be like a voucher type of deal where they're saying, okay, that those funds are going to go towards whatever school this person chooses, right? But then there is It's always met, right? Because schools, if there's a great school, everyone can't get in. There has to be a limit. So I think that it does make sense to be able to do that. Again, for families who want to give their children the opportunity to have a better education. I don't see why anyone would be opposed to that unless you guys bring up some great reason. Because, you know, the Democrats are also against charter schools as well. So I have yet to hear a good explanation as to why that they would be against that.
I think the only issue that they might run into is where the money's coming from. I think that's going to be a big deal when it comes to
It comes from the government, but yeah. the money that parent uses to put his kid in a school outside the district is that much less money that district's going to have for the rest of the kids. So okay. some people complain about that and say, well, in the long run, some people say, well, it's going to save money because, you know, the family has to make up the difference, you know, so it's going to save money. So if the kid goes from a public school to a private school, okay, he gets $10,000 from the government. Let's say typically the state would give them $20,000, okay, for each student. I'm not sure what the number is, but you know it's up there. Because you were right, Sun Tzu. It's ADA, average daily attendance, is what they base financing on, and it's not so much in California. Like some states, it's very exclusive in terms of if you live in a rich area, you're going to generate more money for your students than if you live in a poor area. And that's one of the reasons why in some states, some of the schools are really, you know, the low economic schools are really, really, you know, they're poor schools. They're poorly run schools. In California, it doesn't work like that. Every student's going to get an ADA proportionate to the same amount of money. In other words, where's a rich area? Well, even San Francisco, you know, the students, the ADA for the student in San Francisco is going to be the same for the ADA and the student in Fresno. You get what I'm saying? You know, and there may be some variations to that because the cost of living in San Francisco is higher than Fresno. But for the most part, it's not going to give San Francisco a major advantage so that their kids are way better educated than the kids in Fresno. So there is a formula for that. So some would say it would save money for the government, because instead of paying the $20,000 per pupil per year, they give them 10, and then the family has to make up the other 10. So in some ways, some people say, well, wait a minute, that's actually going to save money. The problem is, though, it takes $10,000 away from that other district. So it's kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul. So that's one of the tricky elements of school choice.
Right. Which again, you know, the funding is, that's what they're concerned about, right? These schools, these public schools is funding. So it's not really looking in the best interest of the students, you know, it's more, we're going to lose our funding. Like for instance, I don't know if you guys recall or have ever done this, but when I was newly a single mom, you can apply for meals, you know, free meals for your kids. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they actually like push that on you. They're like, oh, here, you know, go ahead and apply, because the more people that apply for that, again, the more money the school gets, right? And so it's all about money for the school. And this is interesting, you know, that's the bottom line really, is that they want to have as much funding as possible to benefit the school.
Well, okay, or the students. I want to be clear on that.
What was that, Chris?
The school she meant, I think.
Yeah, but will the school use that for the students?
Well, this is what it is it's like this. Like if you work for a corporation and you're spending, so then the following year they give you more money, right? More money for your budget to be able to utilize for XYZ. And so how they use it, I don't know. That's a great question. You would like to think that it was for your student, but it's just kind of interesting. Like, why would they push it so much? You know, it just seems like it's all about budget and funding and wanting more and more and more for the school. So why that's so important to them, I don't know.
Well, I can explain. I can explain some of that. It gets complicated, you guys. And I want everybody in the audience to know. Obviously, they should know by now that I taught for 34 years. Okay, so I'm a teacher, so they should know that and read into whatever biases that I present. All right, or not biases, but at least know that. Be aware of that. But okay, our area, we have 100% school free lunch. 100%. And the reason that they did that, Sun Tzu, is it's actually cheaper for the district to do that, because then they qualify for a certain amount of food substance from the government to do that. And it's easier in the long run. It makes it way easier than all the logistical bookwork of who's this student and who's that and who's one and you don't, you get the lunch, and you get a card. The other part of that was students would have a card that they would carry, and it made them feel uncomfortable and whatever, because they were designated in such a slot and so on and so forth. So that's part of the reason why. The only analogy that I can draw similar to that is one of the things that bothers me is about CBC, the CBC program in California, the food program, isn't it called CBC?
I don't know.
We not take, sure. Well, no, you see it everywhere in stores. We take CBC,
oh,
we take
EBT.
Thank you. We yeah. take EBT, we yeah. take EBT. I got cranky with that because I'm thinking, wait a minute, man, if you're hurting for money and so on, you know, no, you shouldn't have to just be able to use it for pizza or whatever, on and on and on, because they used to make a distinction about that. You'd come in with your grocery cart, and if you had soda, pizza, things that weren't just basics, you had to pay cash for those. Do you remember that, you guys? That's the way it used to be.
I do actually.
Yeah. Okay. So they've got to the point where they just said, you know what? The hell with that. It's way too complicated. We're just going to allow them to just do whatever they want to do with that. And I'm sure there was a bunch of the store owners that said, hell yeah, man, we're going to make a heck of a lot more money, because now all they've got to do is come in with their EBT card and they can pretty much get whatever they want to get. They can't get liquor, they can't get cigarettes and so on. But I think that's the same concept with the school saying, hey, we want everybody on funded because it's just easier in the long run. So not to make an excuse or defend anything, Sun Tzu, I think that's just an explanation for some of it.
Anderson, let me ask you a question. I know that you have two adult male boys and you have two still preschooler children. Elementary school, my fault. I know that, you know, prior to where you live now in your economical status now, you did live in a impoverished area originally when you and your wife first got out of college and whatnot. Yeah. Did you notice the school system different after, like, for your first two boys to when you moved to your new area? Was there a dramatical difference? Because, like, you're truly the Jefferson story. You truly moved on up. So was there a dramatic difference? No, seriously.
That's pretty cool. That's a great example.
Actually, the boys actually went to school here in the area where I'm at now, where my two little ones have gone. So we got out that area just in time before they started actually first grade and second grade.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, you know, but it's just weird. I mean, you know, I grew up in the LA Unified School District. So, and then coming out here to the Bay Area.
Did you feel like you had a shitty school?
Oh, yeah. Hands down. When I moved out here from college.
As an elementary student, you felt that way? Or did you feel that way in high school?
No, you know what? Elementary, no. I want to say high school, yes. Just the fact that, you know, we'll get some teachers that actually did not care about it.
Yeah. So
you know, it's crazy.
Well, that's kind of where I wanted to go with this topic, because, you know, I had some nightmare teachers, like some fucking nightmare teachers, to the point where
Thanks, Chris. You're not going to mention names, are you?
to where the fact that when I was lucky to run into Mike as my teacher, you know, he actually took time out. I mean, this guy would come, you know, would help me before school started on certain things and help me after school. And this man propelled me to enter college early. You know, I entered college earlier than most people. But the thing is, I mean, I had nightmare situations. And like, as a parent now, but I want to talk about as a person who left who left college and high school. My first adult job was teaching drama for urbanized kids for an organization, but that's like a private organization, but that's something different. But prior to that, like, I didn't care how much money a school got. I cared about who they hired. And I want to know why a lot of these low-income schools have a bunch of shitty teachers. Because I felt if they hired, you know, the best type of teachers, it doesn't matter where you live. The school would be good because it's the teachers. You could have all the money in the world, you know, and still have crappy teachers. But if you could somehow even out that playing field, maybe you wouldn't have a problem with our school system like this.
But you think teachers would want to go to a district or area where there's violence? I mean, if I was a teacher,
you're the right person to ask this question. Okay. Now, I mean, you grew up in a very scary place, right? You grew up in South Central. If you had more teachers that worked with you guys in elementary and junior high, would that still carry on to your to high school where all the violence and stuff is at?
Because no, it probably won't. Check this out. So I was a tutor when I got into high school, or actually when I first year of college, I came back home to help inner city kids. So another program that actually helped
that
me.
That was a program, right? That was a program, yes. Right? That was a big deal. Yeah, yeah.
So I went back to help, and I was getting kids that were going to high school that could not even read. Yeah. And it was so shocking to me and sad.
Yeah.
I had kids that parents were crackheads. I had one kid, smart kid, and I remember asking him, hey, you know, how's your parents doing? I don't live with my parents. I live with my grandparents. Oh, what happened to your mom? I'm like, she died. And I go, oh, okay. So how long you been living with your mom? Oh, since I was like 10 years old. The kid was maybe 14 at the time. I go, so where's your dad? He goes, oh, he's in jail. He killed my mom. And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't believe it. And another story, just living in the area where I was at, I'm hanging out with some friends in the corner getting some food at a fast food place. And we see a friend that we haven't seen in a while. So we see him. Hey, how you doing? How you been? Oh, you know, I've just been hanging out, you know, going to school. What you going to get into right now? We asked him. Oh, you know what? Man, I'm about to go kill my dad right now. Y'all want to roll? And we're like, nah, we're good. Oh. And just out of curiosity, why you want to kill your dad? He was like, he put hands on my mom's. I haven't seen that dude since. So it's just, but you know what?
Did he really kill his dad?
I don't know. We never seen him. We never seen them again, but it all comes down to, and I think Sun Tzu brought this up, is your parents. I had good parents,
yeah,
and they raised me well. You know, they wanted me home at a certain time. You know, I was afraid of my parents, so of course, you know, I listened to what they said. And at the end of the day, you know, I ended up going to college, going to a 4-year, and ended up doing what I do now. And you know,
having a podcast superstar.
So, go ahead, Sunsu.
Yeah, Anderson's bringing up the perfect point and the exact reason what makes the difference in someone's life and in their education is family. It really is family, because what I've seen, my kids have gone to a school that borders Santa Ana, and Santa Ana is kind of a rougher, you know, highly Hispanic area. And, you know, so the school that they went to in high school, and this is just last year, it's a lot of Hispanics, some Blacks and white people, and maybe, you know, here a sprinkle of like Asians here and there. But, you know, when they would come home and talk to me, especially my boys to play football, you know, they'd tell me about like some of the guys who mom is, you know, was in prison and out and is dating some guy that hits her, and then dad is in prison. And I'm just like, wait a second, we live in Orange County. Are you serious? Like, this is what's going on. These are the types of kids that, you know, they play football with. So it really has to do with the family and like what standards, you know, that's instilling you, because you can live like Anderson in an area where the education system is broken, because there's so many kids that come from broken families. And I think Mike can attest to this. One thing that I've learned from teachers, because I know a teacher, she lived in Irvine, but she would teach in Santa Ana, and she has such a passion for helping people, these kids that come from these broken homes. But she would tell me, like, I literally have to buy supplies out of my own pocket. Like, parents are not involved. They don't show up to things. Like, there's zero involvement. And so that makes a teacher's job that much more difficult. And they find themselves having to go above and beyond, right? And so when teachers have stayed in that position for so long, I can only imagine that they get tired and they just do the bare minimum, right? And then that's what creates such a dysfunctional
education. I agree with you. And here's the thing. I this sucks because we're real past this topic time, but I want to do a lightning questioning type of thing. I feel like we just scratched the surface on this, but here's the thing. It's unfair for us to ask the teachers to take over a parental role for the students.
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay. It's unfair, but the truth is some parents fucking suck. Okay. Yep. And some of these kids that we lose to gang violence, that we lose a lot, that we lose to drugs, could be some of our brightest minds.
Yep.
And, you know, if we are going to ask a teacher to step up and to step up in a place that's border Santa Ana or where, sorry, that made me laugh, or where Anderson's from. Sorry, just Santa Ana's kind of nice, but whatever. But you know, that's all I gotta say. That's it. Or where Anderson's from, why don't we ask, you know, why don't we us as a country, as a society, step up how we treat our teachers? Our teachers are the most unappreciated bunch in occupation. And you know, we give so much clout to nurses now because of COVID. We give so much praise to police officers. We give so much praise to our military. Why don't we turn it around and give a lot of praise to the ones that are with our kids, you know, a lot more times than us parents are, because, you know, parents work and whatnot. You know, why don't we really do that?
I'm sure it will. I hope it returns on that, because I'm sure there are a lot of moms at home that are just like, can't wait to get their kids to school and are starting to appreciate the teachers and their patients.
Let's now maneuver that to the next topic. And it sucks because we're going to end in like maybe 20 minutes. So,
well, real quick, Chris.
Yes.
We didn't even touch on school choice.
You didn't.
We really didn't. And that's fine. So I would just encourage Sun Tzu, especially, and Sean, I think. Sean, did you do research on that, or are you?
I just know a little bit about it from
my kids. Well, I think it's a topic worth discussing. It really is. Yeah, and I don't.
I agree.
So take a look at it. Take a look at it, and let's take a look at the pros and cons, and you know, come back to that topic because there.
When would you guys like to come back to it? In 2 weeks? In next week? What do you guys feel as a group?
Week, because people are going to listen to the. You said 2 weeks. I think next week. Just because we're talking about it now.
Okay. Is that okay?
Because
there really are some consideration points to look at in terms of what, you know, what it means. And it's an attempt at educational reform. And I just don't think it's going to particularly work, but it's worth discussing because other parents are going to, you know, I think we'll be helpful in giving parents information about
new parents that are entering their children in schools and those that are already continuously in education. I want to point that out because I don't want someone to be like, my kids are already in high school. I don't need to pay attention to this. Like,
well, that's the point, Chris. That's it. You guys said it right on. Pardon me for interrupting you, but you really did. And that's the thing that you notice about high school is by the time today's world, when a kid goes to high school, a lot of parents basically go, hey man, he's in high school now. That's cool. And I'm telling you right now, that's when they need you the most.
Yeah.
That's when the biggest transitions in their life are occurring. You know, huge transitions. The difference between being a ninth grader and a 12th grader are astronomical. They're just absolutely astronomical. Damn. And back to school night, the parents that I would see every year over and over and over again, and every teacher would say the same thing, are the parents of the kids that were already doing good, you know? And the ones that weren't are the ones that we really needed to get a hold of. Man, they were nowhere to be seen or heard from.
Because they got to work or something.
For those who are listening, who are parents and aren't there, like, I've been there. I'm not the helicopter mom, because that's really popular in Orange County. You have the moms that literally live at the school, and I wonder if they have a freaking life. You know, they're obviously being maintained and they have the time to do it. When you're a woman who works, you know I've felt the guilt of not being able to participate as much with my kids when they were in grade school and even middle school, you know. But at the end of the day, I feel like they are good students, they are good people, because at home, at least, they have the discipline at home, and I have expectations of them, even though I'm not, you know, volunteering once a week to read to the class, you know what I mean? But I'm there for the parent-teacher stuff. So I just don't want people to feel like we're making them feel bad about it, because the reality is we all have different lives and we have all different responsibilities. And sometimes as a mom, we just have so much going on. The last thing we want to do is sit there and socialize with a bunch of moms that sit at home and do yoga and go hang out at their kids' school. You know what I mean? So I get it. I've been there.
And let me just add to that, Sun Tzu, just so we get a clarity on that. The thing that's most important is that when you make a connection to the teacher, okay, you have told me you're a caring parent. And consciously or unconsciously, I'm going to be more tuned into your kid, just because I know there's a parent that's made a contact. And if all of a sudden, and this is where it goes, and maybe this is, you know, maybe I'm saying bad things about teachers, but I don't think so. It's more about human nature. If your son, Sun Tzu, you've made a contact with me, and I know you're an interested parent, and your son all of a sudden is getting an F or moving toward getting an F, and he's not turning in assignments, skipped a couple of classes, and I don't make that contact with you, then when I come back to you and you see that, or when you see that F on the report card, it's like, what the hell, Newkirk? What the hell? I wanted you to let me know what's going on here. I need some help here. This is a partnership. You know, we need to work together on this. And that's the part that people need to understand, is you're going to make teachers more attuned to the fact that absolutely accountable to what the heck's going on with that kid. And if you never, ever hear, or even, you know, I could tell you stories. I've had conversations with parents like, hey, you know, Cindy's not in class, and well, what the hell? I can't control her. Okay, I guess I know what we're working with. And I know Cindy's pretty sharp. I mean, she's got a brain in her head, and I know she's got some abilities, but man, if there's nothing going on at home, you know, I can only do so much, you know? So that accountability thing is huge. And I that's what I hope parents pay attention to. It's like, you know, let that teacher know.
Will we say that our school system's a mess?
Yeah,
it is.
You know why? Because like, I mentioned my kids go to private school right now, and so the difference in the quality.
Okay,
is
I'm sorry,
so
but
crazy.
I like in junior high, I went to a private religious school, and the principal smoked weed with us, so I wouldn't
that's an exception.
It's true. So not all private schools are great, but because not all private schools are great. Like, I'm sure some that had good reviews whose students go to bigger and greater things, sure, but I just don't want every parent out there thinking, shit, now I gotta get my kid into a private school. There's some real crappy private schools, religious private school, by the way.
But Sun Tzu, you're talking about Sun Tzu, you're talking, let me make a clarification again. Are you paying for their school? Or are they in a charter school?
No, this is a private school where I pay.
You pay, yes. Okay. Just want to get a clarification.
Where I was going with that is, you know, Chris, you're right. Like, you obviously have to do your research on every school. And even to the same in public schools, they're rated, right? You see schools that are 5 out of 10, that should be a huge red flag for any parent, because you want to stick to the 8, 9, and 10s. But private schools are the same thing. But anyways, part of the vetting process that we went through is looking at statistics, how many kids, you know, go off to these 4-year universities, how many go to Ivy League schools, like all these things, you know, we're able to kind of measure which one was the best. And frankly, you know, a lot of the private schools in our county are really good schools. I mean, they just are. But the point of me bringing that up is it really sucks that a private school is so much better at preparing a student for college than a public school. And I just had this conversation with my son who's in junior, and he's telling me that, gosh, mom, like, I have so much homework and like this, that, and the other, and my kids play sports and you're trying to work out.
Hold on, Sensu, let me interrupt you real quick. Mike, do you have fellow colleagues that went and taught at private schools?
A few, yeah.
Okay, would they say the same thing Sensu said?
Well, Chris, you forgot. I went to a private school.
Oh, that explains everything. Okay, go ahead.
I went to a private school. So yeah, I went to a private school. So yeah.
So the point is, I think it's fair.
Hold on, Sensu. Let him answer, and then you can go back.
No, yeah. I think what you're saying, Sensu, is fair. I really do. I think it's fair. But the thing that's important to accept here and understand about education in America is we have a grand experiment going on. We are trying to educate everybody. Okay. Europe doesn't do it like this. Okay. Europe separates you out. You go to school for so many years. And then by the time, like by eighth grade, okay. Hey, you know what? This school shit's a bunch. It's a waste of time. I don't want to do this. Okay. We're going to teach you a trade.
Yeah. And they put you in educational schools.
Right. So. They put you in a vocational school, or you can go on and go to college, or, you know, what they call college. Okay. And so they're going to prep you for college, or they're going to prep you for a particular job. We don't do that in American education. We try to educate everybody the same.
I don't think that's fair, what you're saying, Mike. I mean,
it's true. I
don't think it's fair though, because aren't they still educating even though that kid's going to vocational school?
Yeah, but you're not by the yes, you are, but it's job orientation, not college orientation. And right now in American education, they're gearing everybody to go. They want everybody to go to college. And we would send, you know, this used to just piss me off to no end, that Reedley High School, they would brag, well, we send 92% of our kids go on, or some ridiculously high percent, maybe 92 is too high, 88% of our students go on to college. And I would always say, how many graduate? It doesn't make a difference whether they went, you know, how many graduated. Never had a statistic on that. And the reason the 88% go on to college is because what the hell else are they going to do? They're going to go out and get a job. They don't want to go out and work. They want to fucking laze around for another year or two if they can on the parents' dime. So well, it's true.
For those that have parents to be on their dime with.
Okay, fair, okay. Fair right. point. Okay. But you're not proving anything to say, you know, 88% of our kids go off to college. It means nothing. It absolutely means nothing. So
I don't think so. The reason why it is important is because they help throughout that process of application, preparation, ACT,
Sensu,
SATs, like all of that.
Well, they took out some SATs, right? This year, they said that they're throwing out SATs. Oh, yeah. But Sensu, I'm going to say something ignorant. I'm going to say something dumb. Okay.
Again,
and, go for it.
And I would love for you, for those in the audience who say I always say something dumb. Anyways, but you know, please knock this down if you can. Okay. Maybe that's the problem with our country. Everyone thinks that everyone's a superstar, that everyone's so smart. Maybe it's time to be like, hey, by eighth grade, if you know this school's not for you, maybe you could be the best mechanic in the world and be and have your own TV show on Discovery Channel. You know what I mean? Maybe you really want to be a doctor. And if you go through the steps of being a nurse and all the way up to doctor, good for you. Because there's a lot of people that do that later in a second career later on in life. You know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe everyone doesn't need to do all that and be told all that. If they want to go and be, you know, blue collar, be blue collar. Is that bad, Sensu? Am I wrong? And if I am, tell me. It's okay. I'm not going to get hurt because
no, could be wrong. I actually support that. My mind has changed quite a bit in this last year. about college and university
because of me.
And, no, because I've listened to some speakers, but just the value that it really brings to you. Because I look at the education that I gained, and it didn't teach me anything about what I'm doing now, running my own business, about credit, how to build
being a podcast
credit.
Superstar.
It doesn't teach you anything like that. And so the value it brings to you, unless you're, you know, at a corporate level, like, you know, my brother has his MBA, my other brother has his master's, you know, like these people have all of this education. And it's sad when I see people with the high education and that I'm making more money than they are. Like that says something, you know what I mean? Like I deal with people with PhDs in social work and they're making like 90,000 a year. And I'm like, why in the world would you spend so many years in college or in school and be in debt? You know, you're clearly in debt and then only make $80,000-$90,000 a year. That doesn't make any sense to me. And that's what's wrong with our country. I do agree with you.
Because they love what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, part of it.
Some of them do it for love of job.
But you don't need, like, you don't need your PhD. You don't even need your master's to be a social worker. Like, it's just, it's more like an accomplishment. I feel like people feel like, oh, not some, you know, my belt. I got my master's. But what it brings to you as far as value, like the time and energy that you put to get your master's and the money, is it really worth it? You know, are you really going to make, are you going to see, you know, the results at the end of the day? And I don't believe so in certain types of careers, not all, but in certain careers, I feel like it is a bit of a waste. And I think to Chris's point that maybe we should teach people how to, you know, learn a trade that's specific to
maybe
what their goals are.
Okay. I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying, but I kind of want to tweak the way you're saying it. Maybe not teach people how to go do the trade, but maybe listen to the youth a little bit better. For example, there's this one gentleman, you know, I've seen this kid grow up, and this kid he just hates school, and it drives me nuts. You know what I mean? It's like, why do you hate school so bad? Just go. Not for me. So I usually make fun of them and call them dumb, which is wrong. But I did that to sort of peer pressure them to get an education. You know, I just did it the wrong way. But the thing is, you know, it dawned on me, I'm really the rude one here. Maybe I need to hear him.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to school? Well, don't. Because a lot of times kids sit down in classes that mean nothing. I still don't use geometry to this day.
Exactly.
I have to like make it up and be like, okay, I need to be at a 93 angle when I do a squat. Mm. You know, like I make it up to do fitness stuff because it's stupid. I still don't understand that class.
Well, some of the wealthiest people didn't finish college. I mean, you have the Zuckerbergs and the Steve Jobs and
the Christopher Harrisons.
And the Christopher Harrisons didn't need to finish. And again, that tells you again what value it really brings.
Right. That's pretty rare, though. I mean, they're the exceptions in reality.
Yeah.
But if they love their job being a mechanic, they could be like, his mechanic.
I think most people that do go through a 4-year college degree, in general, if you took the average, end up making more money.
Okay.
That's not true. That is not true. See, that's what's so sad is I see people coming out with a bachelor's degree. And they're making bare minimum, and I'm managing that.
No.
He said in general, though.
In general, college people who have college degrees do make more money than people who don't. In general, not all, of course.
It really just depends on what line of work. Because I am a recruiter, so I see resumes. I deal with people all the time. Yeah. So
we're not trying to say you're not.
It really just depends on the line of work.
And how the person is too, right? The person's got to have that swagger, that game to make cash too, you know?
Some of the stupidest people have degrees. And it's like, they're just book smart. They know how to take tests. They know how to do these things. But
are you trying to insult me right now?
A lot of employers look at that as you have the dedication to go through it for 4 years.
That's
you're right. It doesn't make a difference.
It does give them that. Yeah, I agree with that.
No, that's my speech on the piece of paper, you guys. That's where this is my speech. Look, you're going to go to college and you're going to take a bunch of dumb fucking classes, mm-hmm. and you're going to take a bunch of stupid ass shit that you're never ever going to use in your life. That has nothing to do with the importance of that piece of paper. The importance of that piece of paper is when you go to college, no, mom doesn't wake you up in the morning. Nobody tells you to turn in your homework. Nobody tells you to go to class.
Yeah, okay? But I think that that's a and real silly way.
Let me finish it off, Chris. Okay. And the bottom line is, you know, out of the number of people that start college, only about 28% finish. Okay. That's a lot. Look at all those people that didn't make it because they didn't want to wake up or they partied hardy or whatever. They didn't bother. So when you have that piece of paper and you present it to that boss, he knows a lot about you now. He knows a lot. And he knows, okay, this guy had to take dumbass classes that he didn't want to take, but he did it. He had to do all these stupid things, but he did it. And he did it on his own. He paid for it himself and he did it on his own. That tells me a lot about his character to hire.
It's been a resume.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah, Sun Tzu, that's a part of it right there. It's just how many people are self-motivated enough to finish it? And the bottom line is it's less than 30% that finish the race. And that's significant.
Well, and they never even ask you where you finished in the race, Mike. My resume has Stanford degree. They don't ask, did I graduate with an A or did I graduate with a D? Because it doesn't matter. You graduated. You know, I've never had anyone ask me what my grades were.
Yeah.
Not once.
Sean, what were your grades?
I did halfway decent, Chris. I'm like high school, which I was a miserable failure at.
But see, but that's kind of my point. My point is, if we stop, like, we could get the same thing by giving the people what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I didn't get motivated till after high school.
That's a lot of people don't.
Right, exactly.
That's me too.
I flunked out of college. Yeah. I flunked out of college.
No.
I did.
Well, you
went
back. I flunked
out of college. And what happens in my day when you flunked out of college? What happened? You got drafted, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I got drafted. Yeah. That's why I was in the Army. I got drafted. And then when I came back out of the Army and went into the college, I graduated with a 3.92 magna cum laude.
You better have. You didn't want to go back in case there was another war. I don't want to go back.
No, I grew up. Yeah. It's that simple. Yeah. It's, you know, Chris, let me go back to a couple of things you talked about.
Right.
One of the things that made us just so pissed off about teachers, even in our little district in Reedley, hey, they used to build a house. Okay. This guy, wood shop guy, he'd get those guys in there. They would literally build a house and sell it every year and make money on it. We had a restaurant. A lady ran the restaurant. We had kids in there doing all the meals, the planning, everything. Business, everything. Got rid of the program. We had a nursing thing. Got rid of the program. I mean, on and on and on. And it's just these silly decisions that people made, and supposedly because of the money. And it had nothing to do with the money. And it was like, dude, you can't get every kid to fire up about Shakespeare. You're just not going to get that to happen. So, you know, we had a welding program. You know, these kids could go out and make $30 an hour once they went through this 2-year program, and they got rid of that crap. And it's just like, man, why did you know?
The amount of classes, Mike, that they taught us in high school compared to what they teach nowadays is so different. I mean, I had such a slew of things I could have taken that were industrial and vocational education. They don't offer it anymore. It's sad.
Yeah, we had auto mechanics classes. I don't even know they even have that anymore. Typing. Whether they have an auto mechanics classes. Now it's computer studies and computer literacy, and of course, and that's important as well, obviously. But yeah, Chris, you're right. We need to rearrange our priorities and quit. You know, it's great that we have this notion that every American citizen is going to be educated. We're going to do everything we can to educate every citizen to the best of our ability. Okay, we should continue to do that, but we need to figure out a way to best suit different styles and different students, which really is what choice talks about. So, you know, again, that's why I want to bring this back up, because that's part of the rationale behind why choice would fit for a lot of students who don't get along in the regular curriculum and that might be able to, you know, spend their money in another district, another school that's going to cater more to mechanics or industrialization or whatever, you know, whatever those things.
You know, it just, this is something that I'm really passionate about. And we got to none of our original topics. We were going to talk about COVID and the kids trying to get back into school. And I was going to say some nasty things about Governor Newsom and, you know, and kids committing suicide and whatnot, but we didn't even get there. But what we got into is really important. And I mean, this is a great conversation. Yeah. This is, this has really spun around our usual dynamic of the show, you know, because I can't believe how immense this is. I don't know what I was thinking. I am very arrogant, I guess, because I thought we could, you know, make a game plan because I feel like we do about everything else. But this is immense. And yeah, Mike, yes, Sun Tzu, yes, Sean, you know, we
are Anderson audience, still, and Anderson.
Yeah. Is he well, still right? He had to go to work because that dude's a workaholic. He's a workhorse. It's very interesting because no one wants to be stupid. And I think the reason why we have such tribalism in our country is no one wants to be stupid. Everyone thinks they're special. And there's a very special person that's my patient. And one of the things he says everybody wants to be chief. No one wants to be the Indians. He says it a lot. And it's just one of those things, man. And I think that's why there's such tribalism. I'm smart. And da-da-da-da-da, and I'm going to go do this and that and feel this way and that way. And it's like, dude, no one never called you stupid and no one really cares. You have a good job? Yeah. Are you happy with your job? Yeah. Do you have a good job? Well, you might not think it's a good job, but I'm happy. Let me tell you, you know, you really got to be happy with where you work. And I think teaching you to be happy with where you work starts in our school system. Because we really got to let people, you know, discover where they're happy at. And I just don't think we give them the chance.
good point. Very good point. That's excellent point. Well, and that's interestingly, though, Chris, that's the slam against the European system is that actually more of the slam against the Chinese and the Japanese and some of the other systems that are extraordinarily successful. Kids do, I mean, they're over the top, you know what I mean, in terms of scores and math and on and on and on, but they don't get culture. They don't have a drama class. They don't have those kind of experiences.
Yeah, but also, I mean, okay, hey, I love Japan, but also-
Oh, me too.
You know, their growth population is shrinking incredibly. They just don't want to marry each other or have kids. And that's fact. That's fact. Also in China and other countries similar to that way of teaching, the suicide rate is through the roof. I mean, at what Foxconn, they had to put nets around the buildings because fools were just jumping off of buildings because they'd lived at their work, you know?
Yeah.
So let's kind of put that in mind too, even though we're having like a rise in teenage suicide. And I want to talk about that too, because I really want to talk about, like, I was kind of like, I knew what I wanted in high school. I was kind of a loner and I didn't care. Like, you know, I did my thing. And I think we need to start teaching kids to, you know, really be cool with themselves and not this peer pressure stuff. You know, even though I get Sun Tzu peer pressuring me a lot of the times. So we need to focus on that. Anyway, I like that. And I don't think it's a slam. I look forward to talking about school choice again, because now I don't even understand what it is. And I can't wait until next week to talk about it again. And we do got to talk about these kids and these suicides and what COVID's doing or not. I really don't know what the big deal is, but my child's very young. She, whenever she sees another kid, when we're walking, she like runs to them. It's kind of weird. But yeah, so, I mean, we are social creatures. I just, this COVID thing, I'm tired of it, but it does involve our school system. We got to get back to schools. All right. Who's going to play us out? Who's going to talk us out, people?
Sun Tzu, go for it.
All right, Sun Tzu, are you ready to rock and roll?
Okay, volunteer. Sure.
You're good at it.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget we have a sports show called Amateur Pros posted this morning. Go check it out. That's lead host is Anderson. We also have the design will be out. We got to work on the trailer for our game show called Pod Crushers, starring Sun Tzu. And you, the fans that want to, you know, that want to finally squash with their frenemy a debate. Also, we have our fitness show, brand new, called Both Sides. Now this show is run by me. I, you know, for those that don't know, I was, go ahead.
You're running a fitness show?
I'm running a fitness show. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
So
Chubby Checker is running a fitness show.
As a young man, I was one of the top regional trainer, 24-hour fitness, as well as I was very successful at Bally's Fitness. I would burn up to 6,000 calories a day. Okay. I had less than 10% body fat, and then I turned into me today.
And, and
I will be working through my journey, and I'm gonna put it all out there. I'm gonna put the excuse of, like, for example, prime example. I went to bed last night saying, yeah, I'm going to wake up at 6 in the morning. I'm going to go for a 2-mile run. My daughter woke up at 3:30 wanting to play and smacking me in the face. I was so mad. I was so mad because I knew I wasn't going to get up at 6 and run. But I'm going to talk about all those excuses. I'm going to talk about age, how food, junk food seems to taste better now at this age than it ever did when I was younger.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That's terrible because I'm making biscuits and gravy for Dad this weekend.
And there we go, biscuits and gravy.
Well, that's when he takes care of my dad. So yes, he's gonna have biscuits and gravy this week. I'm sorry.
So I mean, we're gonna really. I'm gonna put it all out there. I'm gonna put everything by family issues, children. I mean, I'm just hurting for no reason, you know. And I'm going to put it all out there and I'm going to tackle each thing. I'm going to put out, I was great. I had 8 certifications, ISSA, NAVSDA, NCSF. All expired. Wow. I'm explaining what I had, but that doesn't mean that I still don't have the knowledge. Okay. I took proctored tests and everything. Okay. You know, but I'm going to build these programs for me. And for people that are in their 40s, maybe in their late 30s, and, you know, and let's see if we can work together. Again, if you choose to do it, that's on you. Don't try to sue me, you know, because I'm not there training. I'm going to talk about my journey. And if I get 15,000 followers, you'll see the before and after photos, which I, you know, this is the first time where I'm not even worried about getting 15,000 or 10,000 followers, because I really don't want to have my, you know, upside down smoking pipe body out there, but I'll do it. But I need to get, you know, I need to get in the teens of thousands of followers for me to put out pictures like that. And, you know, I'm down to do it. I really am. It's called Both Sides Now because I've been on both sides. You know, I literally have been on both sides. And we're going to do that. All right, guys. Now, Sun Tzu, sing us out.
All right. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to another episode of We Could Be Wrong, But Who Cares? Listen to our next show next week where we will be discussing school choice. And I believe seen suicide, right? We love you guys. Thanks again.
We love you guys too. And also, Sun Tzu, watch out, because next week I'm going to be looking to call you out just like you did this show. So fair warning. Okay. Fair warning. They expire, right? They're expired. Oh, my God. I didn't say people send me money so I can give you fitness programs. But all right. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Oh, my God. Bye, guys. Bye.